The following email was sent by Matt Straub 7 years ago this month. Two things. One, I'm getting married March 26th. To the extent we can keep that date in mind when we're planning this thing, that would be splendid. Two, I have added name redacted, name redacted, name redacted, and name redacted to the email. Three, I'm surprised you don't know your brother's email address. So Matt, right away,
yes.
Do you see an error in this email?
There were three things.
There were.
That's kind of like a thing I like to do sometimes. I was being annoying.
Oh, it's a joke?
Well, you give it too much credit calling it a joke. It's okay. Just like a thing.
Just a little thing?
But so, I don't know if you realize this, but I was terrified. So that was a friend planning his brother's bachelor party.
I see.
I was terrified it was going to happen when I got married because this friend is sort of a loose cannon when it comes to planning things. He didn't know his brother's email address. One of the names...
I guess I only kind of know my sister's email addresses.
It's pretty insane to not know your brother's email address.
Well, how old is this brother?
I mean, at the time, he was well into his 20s.
Okay, because I have text sisters. So, like, okay. They have email, but I don't think they're using email as much as our generation.
But, I mean, like, you literally have... If you just put in a name, the email program prompts you if you've ever written to that person. It's not hard to find it.
Yeah, I guess. That's fair.
It's pretty insane.
That's fair. But I wouldn't say... Like, I would say I know my mom's email address.
Okay.
I would say I know my dad's email address.
Mm-hmm.
I would say I'm prompting to find my sister's email addresses.
I would say maybe you and your sister should correspond more often over email.
Why?
I don't know.
Oh, you wanted that? You leaned back from the mic because you so clearly wanted that to be the end.
Yeah, I thought it was done.
I'm really sorry about that.
And you brought me back.
I'm really sorry.
I got nothing now.
That's fine.
Okay. The following email was sent by Nicole Dressbell 5 years ago this month. Hello. First of all, I remember virtually nothing about that podcast recording. Even though it was only about 2 weeks ago, it was a long night, but those two siblings are both genuinely interesting. Do you know this person? The hello you put in there was super weird.
I do. This is a person, I would say this is my first like pen pal, my first email pen pal.
Oh, okay.
Going back decades now at this point.
Okay. Anything you want to tell me about that podcast?
No, because I still don't remember it. That's why I pulled that email. It's not like I was doing that many emails 5 years ago. Not many emails.
Doing that many emails?
It's not like I was doing that many podcasts 5 years ago. No memory of what I'm talking about.
Wow. Don't even know who the siblings are.
Don't even know who this... Like, how many podcasts did I do with siblings?
And they were genuinely interesting.
Apparently not that much so.
No,
probably not. Isn't that so weird? And then I thought, oh, let me look it up so I can talk about this.
Yeah.
And then I thought, no. Let's just see if I can get there. And I couldn't.
Well,
I have no idea what this was.
It's gone. You've got mail. Welcome to Inbox, the show where we gain access to our guests' digital correspondents and mine their personal lives for comedy gold. I am Matt Straub.
And I am Nicole Dressbell. And our guest this week is Lux Alpdram, writer and producer on Fusion's Sex Right Now.
Hey.
Yeah, now you can talk. Sorry. Yeah,
right. No, I was so used to like standing off in the corner and minding my own business. It's great to be here. I love email and I love comedy. So
there we go. Thank you for doing it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So let's start with the segment we start with every week.
Let's do that.
Beloved segment.
Beloved.
Part one of email. Matt, Ben, why are you rubbing your face? It is a beloved segment. This is the one Matt gets a couple texts about.
Email roulette.
So email roulette. God, sorry, it was arrogant. It was arrogant for us to talk about.
To call it a beloved. That's segment. Why Ben had his head in his hands.
Yeah, but I was joking and then I was like, should I even be making those jokes?
Yeah, no, I didn't think it came off super arrogant. I think it came off like we weren't really being that serious about it being beloved.
Right.
We love it. That's what we're saying. Beloved among us.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So then I did that thing where I didn't need to apologize and then I made something
but we love
awkwardly
you for that.
About my inner life. I went into today saying I wasn't going to do it anymore.
Your confidence held up ironclad for like 4 minutes. So
not even.
Not even. No, under four.
Okay. Lux, I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I think we just need to get you a copy of Lean In.
Oh, God. I don't know that we do.
Stop apologizing and whatever is in that book.
Okay, great. So you're recommending a book you definitely have no interest in reading. Good.
You know, and feminism.
To be fair, you didn't say I had to read it. You just said we had to get me a copy.
Just put it on your shelf as inspiration.
Just absorb it.
That's not a bad idea. That's
Bossy
not a bad idea.
Bossy Parents and...
That I read.
All those lady titles.
Great.
They're going to say, stop apologizing. The spines of these books are telling me.
They should put those in like a collection and call them lady titles. Like you could have like 5 books in like one of those.
Right.
Things.
I don't think publishing just lets you do that.
It's very feminist.
Just lets you aggregate as a box set books that aren't made by the same people or written by the same people.
Fair.
Definitely, definitely the most feminist thing to do is to segregate books by women.
Yes. Yes.
For sure.
Okay, Lux, who do you not want to email?
Ooh, I think there's so many people I don't want to email. But I think one that would be very awkward if they got an embarrassing email from me would be... who is...
Ooh, we're doing names and I love it.
Oh, yeah, she is...
We may or may not have beeped that later. Right?
Yeah, she's just...
Rebeeped.
Rebleeped.
She is, you know, one of my professional heroes and also on the board of the nonprofit that I run. And it would just be real awkward if she got something embarrassing.
Excellent. Excellent.
Can I just ask, so like, are you guys on good terms, consistent, like, contact between you?
I mean, she's incredibly busy, so it's not like I talk to her a lot, but certainly, like, I have emailed her.
But so, like, if you emailed her, you would feel like maybe you're inconveniencing her a little bit if you sent her something that was a little frivolous.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So I kind of think we should send something, Nicole, super frivolous and possibly a little long.
I very much agree. Ooh, oh, I love long. And Lux, would you also say this is a person who, like, you have clearly, like, almost not quite a peer relationship with, but you interact with her and yet look up to her?
Oh, absolutely.
Like one of those people you interact with and then you're like stressed afterwards thinking about what the exchange was?
Yeah, and it's one of those people who you're like, oh, every time they talk to me, like, I feel blessed.
Yep.
Like, I feel blessed by their continued interest and attention and I do not want to embarrass myself.
Perfect.
So, like, Nicole, I feel like you are in a very good place to be able to channel this feeling of like inconveniencing someone because you're so concerned about, you know, stuff like that.
Yes.
I mean, I am too.
Right.
But I think you're like another level.
Yes.
Is that fair to say?
It's not only is it fair to say, but my ego is stroked by feeling so recognized and seen right now. So thank you.
No problem.
Excellent. So let's open up a compose box.
That would be you, Lux.
Yes, that's going to be you, yeah. Lux.
Oh, my God.
Lux is just so ready to
Lux,
sit back.
You're also the only one sitting in front of a computer. So who else
I
could
know.
We be talking to?
Well, I'm gonna open up a new thing. I'm going to just prove what an old person I am and say I don't actually use Gmail. I mean, I use Gmail as a service, but I don't use Gmail, the web app. I mostly use my Apple Mail.
No, stop. No, you don't.
I hate web-based email, but I mean, I'm pulling it up because I was like, this will be easier for all of you. But,
it will. Wait.
But I also have like 7 email addresses. I've got all these like weird email quirks. And so I'm like, how does the website work? How do I make an email happen?
Yeah, because so, you did put an apostrophe in when you were typing Gmail. So that's definitely.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
No, that was your accident.
GM apostrophe. Just fully frazzled.
Gmail.
Yeah. Gmail.
Wait, I'm still fascinated that you're using, on your computer, you're using the Mail app. Like it's getting forwarded to that box that people only open by accident when you click on a mail to link and then it pops up. Right?
No,
Matt, is this fair?
Yeah, it's fair. Like I go through waves where I'm like, you know what? I'm going to dedicate myself to using this app and I'm out within like 3 hours. I'm like, this is
why?
Terrible.
It's
I can't do
so
it.
Hard.
It's so hard.
I mean, I'm old and habits die hard, number one. I just have never liked web-based email. And then as I got like more and more email addresses, because I have like 2 different personal email addresses. And then
now you
I
sound
have,
like you're bragging.
All these work email right. addresses. No, I'm just like a person who has a problem. It's just annoying to have to open multiple Gmails. And so that's like my
Don't
issue.
Disagree.
And then I was just like, I just want them all in one place. And then I have periodically tried to be like, okay, Apple Mail is not great. Let me like find a better one. But then it was like, there was Postbox for a while, but somehow that got all screwed up, so I stopped using that. And I was using, I forget what it was called. There was this, it was, at first it started as a mobile app, and it was, like, just really sleek and cool, and you had to be invited to use
Mail.
It
was Mail. Called
okay.
Mail.
I was like, I thought
no
it was
deal,
called
I
Mail.
It.
I thought it was called Mail.
Yeah.
But then I was like, that's too stupid a name for it to be called Mail. But
no,
so it was called Mail. And I eventually got Mail on my phone. And then they had a Mail desktop app.
Yep.
And I was so excited for that. And then they shut it down.
They did.
And I was like, fuck it, going back to Apple Mail.
Wait,
yeah.
Matt, when were you on this?
It was a couple of years ago.
It was
so
cool.
Just like you could have, just like we were in each other's spheres enough
I
that you could have invited me. Great.
Well, by the way, at some point the floodgates totally opened. The invite thing was pretty silly because before long anyone could get it.
It also seems such a weird thing to be exclusive. I guess it must have been in beta.
I think they were worried about too many people on the
server. Sure. That makes sense.
But you would get like in the very first iteration, and I don't even think I was in it in this iteration, but my mom was. take of that what you will. It was a thing where you would like get the beta code, but then it would be like, you're like number 500,000, mm-hmm. like after five, like whatever, like wait, and then we'll let you know when you get to download it.
What was so great about this app?
Lots of good swiping stuff. Yeah. It was designed to get you to inbox zero. That was their goal. And you had lots of good like remind me later swipes and a ton of swiping, Nicole. You couldn't believe how much.
I mean, I'm a big swipe fan.
Huge swiping. And now they all have swiping. Yeah. It's pretty rampant, right. I would say. So, but mail, you could say, kind of took it up a notch.
And you could like time stuff. There was a lot of stuff. On my phone, I use Spark now, which is more or less like mail was, but not as pretty. But on my computer, I'm just like, I don't like webmail. I guess I'm stuck with this thing.
Okay, well, if you're going to keep saying it, I'm going to come back around to the idea that nobody calls it webmail. Like, that's this, I think for most people listening, am I wrong? For most people listening and everyone in this room, this is the first time that we've heard it.
Well, so. Some of you were just not on email in the 90s when web-based email clients were a new thing, and then you never updated your lingo.
I guess that's fair.
I was there in the 90s.
And you would say you've heard the phrase webmail. I was also there in the 90s. Lux, I think. I think the 6-month age difference between all of us you might be making too much of.
I'm just saying, when I was in high school in the late 90s, I'm just embarrassing myself with all these stories, so everyone's got ammunition on me. But
that's
I
the idea.
In like 96, I was really into just, it was like when Hotmail was new.
Right.
Was, oh, yeah.
Ooh, Hotmail. And then I just like, I cannot explain to you why I did this, but it became my hobby to just go and sign up for other free, like, web-based email accounts.
That's not what a hobby is?
Yeah. This is what I did in high school, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to collect all these. So I've got, like, a girl.com email address, and I've got a Hotmail address, and I've got a Yahoo address. I don't remember. I had, like, 11 of them, and I don't know
Sounds like
why.
Somebody who loves web-based mail.
At the time, yeah, but it was just because I wanted more email addresses that were free.
And when I was a woman, I put away childish things. I understand. Okay, let's write this email.
Yes. Yeah, sorry for distracting you with my tales of how I don't like the Gmail website. So what am I writing now?
Matt, you want to take the opening? Dear friend.
Now, Nicole, I want to run something past you as a big picture theme. Okay,
yeah, thanks so much.
My thought is, given what we just learned about Lux, what if this is like a sort of tech advice question for this woman? Like,
we're asking her for emails, so
like asking her for a computer problem, or like, I'm having an issue with this. And maybe
I do know how to use computers.
No, but like some sort of email logistical thing that this woman does not need to hear about.
And I think that's great.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
So, dear friend, I've noticed you're very good at email. So, I hope, I've noticed you're very good at web-based email.
Webmail? Do we say you want to say web-based or webmail?
Oh God, that's great. Webmail parentheses web-based email.
AKA, put an AKA.
Yeah, please
that.
Put in an AKA.
Because like again, in this email that we're writing right now, we do not have to worry about too many words. We like if we put an extra word,
exactly,
that's all the better.
Exactly. No, we should be leaning into words.
Yes, we should.
Okay, great. Great. And so I hope you don't mind that I'm taking some of your time to ask for advice.
Parentheses, no more than, and let's put in a unit of time.
Yeah, no more than 30 seconds.
Of course. That's going to come back, I think.
It's a call forward. So, yeah, I work in TV. To ask for advice.
Question number one. New line. Question number one.
Great. Just another call back now, just for fans, a little, Easter egg for fans of the podcast.
Sure.
Seven things and then question number one. And spoiler alert, it's not going to be seven.
Like question one, seven things. That's embedding it.
And then we can take out questions. So we can just say seven things, number one.
Oh, great. What email client are you using?
What email client or clients are you using?
Of course.
Although I will say I'm not alone in this email client thing.
Let's put all of the subject heading, each one in bold, right? This is our question, and then we're going to have a couple lines after that.
Oh, my God. Matt?
Yeah.
I love this.
Too far?
I'm just so worried about the length of this episode.
Okay. So let's just leave them as questions. Fine.
Fine. Great.
In another universe, this is going to be a lot longer. But
yep.
I'll
remember, this is the first thing that we do, and then we read it two or three more times during the course of the podcast.
Fair.
And so, we aim for 8 segments.
Right. So we'll keep this under 1,000 words.
Great.
I got you. All right. So number 2.
How often are you accessing this client? And on what devices?
Yeah. Question number 3. Were you familiar with the briefly popular mobile email application Mail? And please capitalize the M.
Of course. Yeah. What do you take me for? Some kind of monster?
Great. Number 4. Do you know what happened to it?
Okay, let's
number
continue.
Five.
Yeah, yeah.
Number 5. Do you know how to access information that I had on the Mail app that I lost when the app went away?
Good.
See, that would never happen to me because all my stuff is stored on Gmail. And
so you're not having the... So it's not pulling
from Gmail. It's not downloading.
Gmail.
It's IMAP. Yeah. It's not POP. You know, it's all very complicated.
That was very informative because that's the first time I understood the difference. So I guess POP takes the emails away and IMAP just copies them?
POP downloads them off the server, but you could also choose to leave them on the server, which would create all this like dual replication thing. And IMAP, you're just accessing the server.
Hold on. So you have a choice between different kinds?
I don't know if it happens so much anymore, but yeah, in theory.
Like historically, can we make number 6? Historically, is your preference between POP?
Yes.
Right?
Historically, is your
this part of the email?
POP?
Or
yeah,
are you
yeah.
just
yeah,
asking
yeah.
me? Okay.
Of course.
Is your preference POP or IMAP? If you're unfamiliar, are you interested in getting coffee and having me explain the distinction?
I think for sure if she gets this email, she's going to think that you were hacked. I mean, this is a crazy thing for you to be writing to her.
Great. Okay. Number 7. I am in Europe. And my wallet was stolen. Can you wire me $200?
Hold on. Now I gotta ask this question.
Yes.
You know how when people send like phishing emails, they intentionally misspell stuff? I'm kind of thinking maybe we should misspell a couple words now.
I shouldn't have corrected all my typos.
Is that too far, Nicole?
I'm just gonna say, I don't want to overdo it. Just a lowercase e on Europe.
Okay.
All right.
And what about friend, FREND? Take out the I.
That's absurd.
All right. But you know that they do that, right?
I'm doing it.
Wow.
Yes. That feels
the more
so
crazy
good.
It looks, the more plausible deniability.
Oh, number 8.
Number
right.
8. Sorry, I meant friend.
Okay. And then we need a subject line.
Oh, emails questions?
Emails questions. Oh, that's great. Can you put a question mark after the questions? Emails questions.
Excellent. Mark? Great. No sign off. Let's leave that there, right?
No sign off. Should we reread this or we'll reread it later?
Let's reread it later. Yeah. Oh, Ben loves that idea of rereading it later so that we can move on to our next part. Spam, scams, and creeps.
Spam, scams, and creeps.
Okay, Lux, how often do you visit your spam folder, by the way?
Never.
Really?
Which is actually sometimes a problem because as somebody who works in the sex industry, I actually get legitimate emails that go to spam. I usually check my spam if somebody sent me an email and then they're like, over Facebook Messenger or whatever, hey, did you get my email? And I'm like, oh, probably went to spam. But I am looking now and I'm like, oh, there's some, I mean, most of them aren't ones that I actively care about, but there are some legitimate emails in here like, stuff from, I know I saw earlier when I was looking. Yeah, like this PR, I want Empire signs trans star Mandy Mitchell as a brand ambassador. That might sound like it's spam, but it's actually a legitimate adult industry PR email.
Yeah, it looks like an actual press release.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
It's like a lot of people spam, for those of us who don't work in the sex industry, maybe sex related.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything in there that is actual spam that you're like, oh, that's kind of intriguing? Like I thought that. Like, so I work in the sex industry. Oh, it's kind of interesting. It's almost not spam to you.
No.
Okay.
If it's spam to you, like because I don't really care about penis pills.
So spam to you is spam to me is the same thing.
That's yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, do we want to like open any of these creepy ass things?
What is dance for food?
Oh, this looks like it's actually not spam. I don't know. I mean, it's not a thing that I want, but this looks like, no, maybe not. Artist for a cause at mail.vresp.com does sound spammy.
I don't trust any email address with that many underscores.
Yeah, now I'm confused. So one of my big email woes is that people The more I look at this, the more I'm like, this is definitely spam. But one of my big email woes is people will just sign me up for their newsletters without my permission. And like the worst, I have no idea how this happened. I got signed up for a bunch of Hebrew language newsletters. And so I cannot figure out how to unsubscribe because they are all in Hebrew. And so secretly, that's why I'm actually doing Hebrew Duolingo. And so I will one day be able to figure out how to unsubscribe from all these.
I feel like there is a shortcut, which is just Google the Hebrew word for unsubscribe and then do a search through your email for that.
Yeah, I could do that too. I mean, I have other reasons to be trying to learn Hebrew.
You just said it's your main reason.
I also thought you were about to say, I think that's the main reason I came on this podcast, is I thought you guys could help me unsubscribe to these newsletters.
That would be great. Lux, did you bring a chat you would like us to reenact?
I did. I went into the whole web Gmail and found the chats and did all this.
Okay, you made that sound harder than I bet that it was.
I don't like the interface.
Yes, we know. We know. Google knows.
Felt real hard. So should I give any context?
And yes.
So this chat is actually me recounting a Facebook exchange that I had with someone. My friend had, and some of this detail will probably come up in the chat, but my friend had like posted one of those posters that was like a Coachella poster with all the dude bands removed. So you see that it's like, oh, there's two ladies that they bring in. And I had commented on that poster and got into a fight with someone who, after the chat, I learned was the lead guitarist for a band that we can call Some Amount of Time to Some Amount to Some Planet in the solar system.
And if you're wondering about the amount of time, it's been snuck into this podcast somewhere.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know who wants to be me and who wants to be my friend, but I have highlighted the relevant amounts for you.
I would love to be you.
All right. And
can I ask you a question before we start this?
Yeah.
For some context, do you get in a lot of snippy internet exchanges with people?
I get in a fair amount. I mean, yeah. I feel like I've gotten good at like walking away.
It's important.
It is. But I will not. I'm not hesitant about sharing my views.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Excellent. And do we want to make this a little bit bigger, Matt? Is that a note that you were about to give?
It wasn't, but I'm thrilled that you said it.
Okay.
I was going to try to
get
it out. I was
going to ask you if you want.
Oh, this is so beautiful. Good. This is so great.
And Lux, you're going to have to scroll for us.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, I assumed.
Okay, great.
So who's me? Who's me? Who's my friend Jason?
I will be you. Matt will be Jason.
All right.
I got called a reverse chauvinist by the lead guitarist for band that is a certain amount of time away from a certain planet. Name Redacted's band.
What for? Why?
I was in a Facebook thread about how most of the bands at music festivals are men, and I don't know who he was at this point. He jumps in to say that it's just about talent, and I'm like, yeah, people say that all the time, and for some reason, it always favors white men.
Haha.
There's a whole system helping white men.
I don't think it's about talent. I think it's more about being a band instead of having a real job is insane/risky, and women are more risk-averse. And guys are insane and do dumb shit.
And then he goes on about how music festivals are a business and girls, he's on your side and no one organizing these things is trying to keep women down. Yep. Well.
That's why guys kill themselves in crazy accidents and shit.
I responded that I know exactly how hard it is to foster diversity because I run a fucking conference where I do just that. And like there's a whole system set up that makes men more likely to do shit.
I like skateboarding accents where you jump over a supermarket cart. Girls don't do that dumb shit.
Because they can take more risks about money, etc. I mean, I don't know that skateboarding is exactly akin to starting a band, but point taken.
Haha, just in general, risky behavior.
Basically, I said there are a ton of other factors beyond talent.
Yeah.
And if you ignore that, you're kind of a dick. And then he called me a reverse chauvinist, and I looked up who he was.
Haha.
And it was like, this is amazing, he's in a shitty band that's only popular because the lead singer is famous! Okay, I love this chat so much, because in addition to the Facebook thread that it's referencing, which is in itself great, what I love is that you and your friend are having two separate conversations.
Totally.
Totally separate conversations.
Jason is trying so hard to take this somewhere else. He's like, I want to talk about skateboarding, crazy accidents. No, the tension between you two is awesome.
It is so funny because you clearly went to him because you needed to talk about this thing. And then I think he tried to be like a good supportive friend, but went off on his own thread.
Because he had like
this
idea.
You were not giving him any reassurance about.
Oh, yeah. No, no.
Because also, like, his point's only kind of valid.
But he loved his point. Like, yes, once he thought of it, point. He was like, we got to talk about this for a while.
Yes, yes. So good. It's such a good chat. Producer Morgan Simpson, journalist Sarah Singer Schiff, and marriage and family therapist Melissa Bronner Schneider bring you the other F word, the one you're too afraid to say out loud, failure. This year-long, 56-episode-strong interview show delves into the messy, tragic, funny, and inspiring stories of failure that make us human. If there's one thing people can all say that they have in common, it's failure. Even as babies, we learn to walk by falling down. We fail in sports, school, relationships, jobs, parenting, and more. And yet nobody talks about it. In contrast, stories of success are everywhere. But instead of inspiring us, they often leave us feeling empty. That's where the other F word comes in. This weekly podcast interviews a wide range of people, from celebrities, authors, and Olympic athletes to the local yoga teacher. The hosts delve into their guest stories with openness, empathy, insight, and humor, and challenge the audience to reframe failure and even embrace it. To hear these conversations, check out The Other F Word now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find your favorite shows. Okay, it's time for Bottom of the Box.
The Bottom of the Box.
Ah.
So you've already pulled up your oldest email.
I have.
On your web-based client email.
Yes. So Gmail. So here's like another just weird thing about this. The email address, my main email address, is one that I've had for 15 years, which is 2 years older than Gmail is, because Gmail debuted in 2004. And so for a while, it was just this like separate client, and it was through my web host, whatever. But at one point, my web host was just like, oh, you can just like port all your email over to Gmail.
Are we talking POP here, or what are we talking?
What's amazing about this is the deeper we get into this, the more it's like, oh, you do know more than anyone else about
port
email clients.
Yeah.
No, I know.
And you have been in it. This is not like this is a nuanced opinion, your hatred of web-based email clients.
It's very, very nuanced. No, I'm not like your mom who's just like, I don't know how this web works.
Right.
What's the cyber? No, I know what I'm talking about, and this is why I just really hate this. But as a result, I was like, okay, Gmail is just a better email hosting client, so all my stuff is hosted by Gmail now. But in the like porting over, I think I lost like some amount of emails because my oldest email is from 2006. But you can see, like, embedded in it the conversation that was happening before. And I know that there were all these emails from, like, before then. So, like, what Gmail flags as my oldest email is someone saying to me, hey, so when I asked my web developer if she needed extra help, it turned into a bigger conversation about her schedule and stuff. And it looks like she's going to have to bow out. I know you'll have to take a look at the design first and see what it entails, but do you think you might have time/inclination to work on my site? Ideally, I'd like to launch by January 1st, but definitely by the time I leave for the Adult Entertainment Expo on January 9th.
Wait, do you build websites?
I did a million years ago. Like, I have a rich and interesting life. There was a period, like, a decade ago when I was building, websites and doing that as a sideline. And then I was like, this is annoying. And I just did back end stuff. I didn't do graphic design. But then I was like,
right,
this is annoying. I don't want to do this anymore. And now it's just like Squarespace. It's all easy.
I'm also looking at this email address that you're using.
Yeah. I mean, that's my email address.
Is that still your email address?
That's still my email. Is still my email address. It has a long and fascinating history, namely that thatstrangegirl.com was the porn site that I ran in like 2002. It was this like indie porn site, but then I just kept that email forever.
Do you want us to re-bleep that or leave it out there?
I don't love that your email address is out there,
yeah,
but I think that's such a great address, yeah, for a porn website.
That website now just forwards to luxalptrom.com.
It feels like you're a little bit of like an internet hoarder. Like you,
yeah,
just, you grab names of,
no,
things.
It's very sad for me to like give away domains, but like I still use this email address as my work email address because there's people who've like had me, who've known me at that email address for forever, and it's just easier. Like, I hate changing emails. Like, one of the reasons why I didn't initially get a Gmail, even though I had at one point been like, Hotmail and Yahoo and blah, 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 was I was like, Gmail might be a fad. Regardless, I use Gmail now, but I have my own domain name that, like, goes through Gmail so that I will never lose that email address. And I just am like very attached to having my own domains that are then on whatever server. And I know I'm probably making myself sound like real.
I'm so overstimulated
crazy.
By your internet history.
I'm overstimulated.
But I'm think ask, a lot about email is the point here.
Yes. I'm going to ask a maybe inappropriate personal question. How much money are you spending every year on keeping these domains?
Not that much. The domain that's on my email address that's through GoDaddy that I cannot wrest from GoDaddy, I just spent like maybe $200 to like re-register it for 10 years or
okay,
something.
Okay, that's not too bad. I $20 a year.
Yeah, because it was like $20. It's the annoying thing about that one is it's like I had this. The reason I can't get it out from GoDaddy is because like I did this privacy lock thing and ages ago, and the privacy lock seems to be connected to like a livejournal.com email address
No.
There's like for some reason I can't like access the privacy lock. So I can't move the whole thing over. So I'm just like, screw it. That's stuck with GoDaddy, even though I hate GoDaddy, but it's just locked in for like a decade at least now, because I just got really panicked when it came up for renewal. And I was like, I don't care. It's a business expense, so I really don't
care. Matt, are you learning that you know nothing about email? Is that what you're learning?
Yeah, excuse me. I was going to say, this is
show. Did you sneeze or laugh?
It was like a thing. I have a bit of a cough. It's just called a thing. I was just going to say, this is a show about email, and this is by far the most technical we have ever gotten, like yes. by a power yeah. of 10.
I just really, really like that. Like, this started with you thinking that I'm just some idiot who doesn't know anything and is scared of computers. And then I'm like, no, I know so much about computers that I have really nuanced opinions that make me sound crazy to everyone else.
Nobody said idiot. That's your word. Nobody said idiot.
I mean, if you want to go real deep, I first saw email when I was 7 because my parents are academics and they were like, oh, use BitNet to like contact your dad while he's in Israel. And I was like, this is amazing. It's this instant thing.
You preface that by saying, if you want to go real deep, we have gone real deep.
I know. I'm going to say something. If you like email, you're going to love this episode.
I also actually, I would say this is an embarrassing confession, but it's not because I've made it before. When I was like 10, I was on an email-based Star Trek RPG that I used my mom's email address to access.
I think about that. Like, I did Star Wars crap when I was like 10, 11, 12.
Yeah.
And I look back and I'm like, it was awful that as a child, I made adults interact with me.
Oh, yeah. No.
Who didn't know they were interacting with a child.
This was like all college students. And I was just like, I'm going to hop in because I like Star Trek.
Yeah.
And I was on the like the ship that I was on. I remember too much about this. Was called like the USS Funakoshi.
What was your name?
I don't remember my name, but I do remember that my character was half Beta Zed and half Vulcan. Which, wow. I'm just going to be real, real nerdy and say that kind of that's dumb because Vulcans already have like the empath telepathy thing that I wanted from the Beta Zoid side. So it could have just been Vulcan, but I was very into TNG and not into TOS so much.
Did they know you were a kid?
I understood none of that, by the way.
I don't think they did. I think they realized I was being really annoying, but right. I don't think they knew that I was dead.
Because I was in certain fan communities that I won't name when I was like 14, and they knew that like a bunch of us were in high school, and they were so nice. And I just think like I would never have the time of day for high school students. Okay, it's time for Search Alert.
Search Alert.
Let's just stay on topic. I have one item I want to search for. If it comes up, great. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Cool?
Yeah.
Totally cool.
So can you please type in, nope, not right, yes, not just in spam, but in the whole thing.
Yeah, no,
can you please just type in,
all right. Yeah.
Rocket Mail. That's it. Just want to see what comes up.
Oh, yeah. I have a Rocket Mail from a burlesque performer inviting me to some tribute to Baz Luhrmann's Moulin Rouge.
2012 and 13, big years for Rocket Mail.
I don't know what this No Jump Ninja thing is. Very confusing because it's from a Gmail. Oh, it's a dude emailing somebody with Rocket Mail, it must be, and including me on this because
that's a lot of people not BCC'd right there.
A lot of people
not
BCC'd.
Yeah, it's pretty cruel.
That's so dangerous.
It's pretty cruel, and I don't know who this person is.
But there is like a follow-up email that's like a distribute. There's one email that is a lot of people not BCC'd, and then a second email the same day that's like a distribution list.
Yeah.
Matt and I will pay your domain fees for next year if you reply all to this unsubscribed email list from 2008.
Yeah, I'm not. I would never do something that cruel to people.
Unsubscribe. Just write unsubscribe. So 9 years later.
Great bit. Great bit. Okay. It is time for things to come home to roost.
Yes, thank you.
All right.
Is that what I say every time?
You've said it at least once, and I love it.
I don't know why I'm so afraid that something's problematic about saying chickens coming home to roost.
Things
I don't
coming
know
home
why.
To roost is what it is now, though.
Yep. Things come home to roost.
I mean, you're anti-robot, you're anti-chicken.
I know. I know.
I just don't even know.
I'm a problem.
All right, so we got to reread this email, and I do have a couple suggestions that we can possibly modify real quick.
Oh, that's what Matt's been doing during the podcast.
So, subject, email questions, ? Dear friend, missing the I, I've noticed you're very good at webmail, ? aka web-based email, ? And so I hope you don't mind that I'm taking some of your time, ? No more than 30 seconds, ? To ask for advice. 7 things. 1. What email client or clients are you using? 2. How often are you accessing this client and on what devices? 3. Were you familiar with the briefly popular mobile email application Mail? 4. Do you know what happened to it? 5. Do you know how to access information that I had on the Mail app but that I lost when the app went away? 6. Historically, is your preference between POP or IMAP? If you're unfamiliar, are you interested in getting coffee and having me explain this distinction? 7. I am in Europe, lowercase e, and my wallet was stolen. Can you wire me $200? 8. Sorry, I meant friend, spelled correctly this time.
Also, just to remind people, this is not a person who, this is not like an email expert you're contacting.
Not at all. So my suggestion is we add a second number 6 after the first number 6.
Okay.
So number 6, then number 6. Say, and then something to the effect of, I am signed up for an excessive number of newsletters, including one that is only in Hebrew. Do you have any ideas how I can unsubscribe?
Do you know the Hebrew word for unsubscribe?
Even better.
Well, so the thing with that one is it wasn't even just the Hebrew word for unsubscribe. It was like when you clicked what was clearly the unsubscribe link, it took you to a page that...
You should be typing all of this into the email, by the way.
It took you to a page that had like more Hebrew and like, you know, because sometimes the unsubscribe things, they're like, here's all these other choices
right.
that you have
what
to
What are your
do.
Reasons? Are you sure? How strongly do you feel about this?
I should actually just get my dad who speaks Hebrew to help me out, but...
No, we'll ask this person instead. should we do this trivia question, Nicole?
Do it, Matt.
Okay.
Do it.
The question is, and Lux, just so you know, Nicole and I are going to try to help you. We don't know the answer.
Okay.
One of the original chain letters that began circulating in 1997 used what notable person in the following message? Blank is testing an email tracking program, and for taking part by forwarding this note, you will receive $1,000. The people, okay, who fill in the blank. You ready? Mm-hmm. Neil deGrasse Tyson's, B, Steve Jobs, C, Bill Gates, D, Ariana Huffington's.
Just don't try to game theory this too much, but okay. It feels like Ben's having some fun with the S's
answers. Ben's gotten crazy with the S's.
Ben had some fun.
Yeah. All of these end with S's, and two of them are supposed to. But here's what Ben has done before. He will pair two things together, like Neil deGrasse Tyson's and Ariana Huffington's with the S's, like, oh, well, it's got to be one of those. Don't think that way.
Yeah,
don't think that way.
I actually know what this is because I remember that chain email.
Oh, wow.
Okay, great. So then maybe Matt and I should play, and then you can tell us if we're right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so Matt.
Yeah.
What are you thinking? I think it's not Neil deGrasse Tyson's.
I 100% agree.
Just because I don't think in 1997 he would have been widely familiar enough as a name to trick people.
I'm with you so right? 100% there.
Okay, great. Yep. And then Ariana Huffington's, I don't know. I think Ben was just trying to like get to not be Coachella and make sure that women were represented in the answers to these questions.
I'm locked in on C. I'm locked in on Bill
Gates. I'm locked in on C too. Like B maybe as like a like unpredictable possibility, yeah. But I totally think that I'm with you. I think
Let's
that it's C.
Let's just grip it and rip it.
Let's say grip it and rip it. It's C. Lux, what is it?
It's C. Because nobody knew who anybody but Bill Gates was in 1997.
Ben,
but I mean,
what the fuck?
What?
Ben, what the fuck?
What do you mean?
There was no, this is just really disappointing. This is like finding out that, this was like if you watched Lost and then you found out the island just was purgatory.
No, I mean, Steve Jobs maybe, but Steve Jobs was in 1997, like nobody, I don't remember what year Steve Jobs went back to Apple, but definitely in 1997, Apple was not a big deal.
I'll say two things. Number one, Ben is playing a long con. He's trying to soften us up for the next trivia question.
He fucking must be.
And then number two, I don't think it was disappointing, Nicole, because Neil deGrasse Tyson's and Ariana Huffington's are a gift. The yeah, extra S's.
I like that.
That's true.
But yeah, no, I remember that email and it was like, Bill Gates is testing email. You have to, because yeah, it's like, who was a rich person at the time that most people had heard of that had some tech thing? And it was Bill Gates.
God damn it.
Well, congrats on that. I really actually kind of wanted to send that email.
I will save it.
Not even a possibility. This is one of our best emails. Not even a possibility it gets sent.
Yeah.
That was too good. Although, yeah, it would have kind of been messed up if your ignorance had torpedoed my reputation.
That's true. We got...
Oh, wow. You were going to send it if we got it wrong.
Yeah.
Or oh, wow. That would be the rule. That's a lot of integrity. I would have just said, no, I know
it. So much integrity.
That doesn't count.
But if we learn nothing else, we learn that Lux has integrity about email.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Integrity and a lot of emails.
Do we want to say where people can find Lux? Are we doing that?
Oh, yeah. Lux, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at LuxAlptrom. And it would be awesome if you went to Fusion and watched Sex Right Now, which is a delightful show that I was so, so happy to work on.